Hello and welcome to Dudmanovi.cz podcast, a podcast about technology. And there's lots of podcasts out there that talk about technology, but we are the only one that talks about technology, which lets technology serve you and be free. And we have a very broad, but I like to think a true definition of the word technology. And quickly, reminder, if you've not listened to us before and you'd like to know, well, what is this thing he talks about technology? Surely it's just a gadget and a device, you know, some Android phone or some little bit of hardware you can buy, you know, and only geeks are interested. Well, you are wrong, because technology is all around us and it's everything. And from the Wikipedia definition, technology is the making, modification, usage, and knowledge of tools, machines, techniques, crafts, systems, methods of organization in order to solve a problem. And as I like to say here, if you're not solving a problem, you're probably creating more problems and more headaches for yourself, and it's not really technology. And maybe one day we'll have to talk about a wooden stick, because a wooden stick is technology as well. And one of the earliest forms, but still very, very useful. You know, I'm not condoning beating anyone with it, but you can use a wooden stick for many, many useful things, poking things and people. And I don't know. I won't go down that route. But what are we going to talk about on this week's episode? Well, we've got the normal updates and news about what's happening here and what my wife is up to. But the main subject matter is going to be about programming. What is this mythical thing we call programming? What it is all about? Should non-programmers have a little comprehension about what programming is? You know, would it benefit them a little bit? Of course, the answer is yes. And I hoped to be able to show you how and why. That's strange. Where is my Ardor gone? Hang on a minute, just me. Oh, there it is. That's strange. Okay, just wanted to check it is recording and it's all going well. Great. So we're going to get back to programming in a minute, but of course I've had some singing from my wife. Here is the latest little song from her, and there'll be another one later.
Mít talent, co měl Paganini, snad bych i já ti trilky hrál. Mít talent, co měl Paganini, s houslemi sám bych v dešti stál. Já bych stál tam v centru autostrád, hrál ti dál své věčné, mám tě rád, mám tě rád. Mít talent, co měl Paganini, šel bych po tvůj balkon hrát. Mít talent, co...
Oh, I had it on looping and it went back to the beginning. Of course, that's my wife, Faith Dudmanová. And on with... First of all, the updates as ever, and what has been happening here? Well, we are waiting for another drop date, because our second cow, Bohushka, which means God's gift, is she was born on our homestead about 3-4 years ago now, I think, and she is due to give birth to her first. We're crossing our fingers hoping it's going to be a cow, because her mother gave birth to a bull about 2 months ago or a month ago, who's doing very well, thank you very much. And we're hoping she's going to give birth to the next in the line of long, long, long generations of beautiful Jersey dairy cows that we're keeping here on the homestead. And which, to be honest, when I look at myself, my health and fitness, and the healthy way my children are growing, we can thank our cows for that. So she's about to give birth on the 6th of December. It's going to be a Christmas gift for ourselves, because, you know, maybe people don't realize it nowadays, but the cow is such an amazing gift. It's a treasure. And once upon a time, you know, everybody used to, you know, want a cow and respect and love a cow, their own home cows, especially here in Czech Republic. That memory isn't so far away as it is in the rest of the world, and hasn't been sort of muddied so much. There's just a door opening. I wonder who's coming in to distract me. Hang on a minute. Okay, just an interloper. Come to get some paper and a pen. Hang on a minute.
Are you going off to play next door? Okay.
It's quite distracting when there are people wandering around looking for things. Can I help you at all further?
There were some more pencils and things over here by the edge. Though you wanted the pastel key, didn't you? You wanted the pastel key.
Derbyshire.
Okay, off you go. Close the door properly, will you please, after yourself?
Do you have enough papers? No funny noises, thank you. You be strict but kind to her, okay? Carry on. Well, you tell and remind Vico, okay? Go on, then off you go. Ah, the door's closed properly. So back on, so our cow's going to give birth. It's going to be a Christmas gift to ourselves from our lovely cows, and we are keeping our fingers crossed that it's a cow. Any week now we should be hanging up now our two-year-old bull in the barn and slaughtering him, saying thank you to him along the way, and filling our freezer up with great meat. What else has been happening here? Well, of course, Arch Linux. If you've been listening to previous episodes, you'll know I've kind of bitten the bullet and gone with what people normally consider in the Linux distro world or Linux world as a more advanced or more difficult distro, but I must admit I have learned so much along the way, and it really isn't as complicated as I thought. After having it all set up on bare metal, I went ahead and reinstalled it again on a virtual machine, and it was so quick to follow the instructions once I'd done it once before, and it was really no problem at all, so I enjoyed that. But the thing I wanted to mention today is I've speeded up my internet access for myself, my wife, and my little Android phone, and it was so simple. I'll put a link in the show notes, but basically the Arch Wiki website is so great. They seem to have a simple style. There's consistency, and the maintainers of the wiki web pages on the Arch website, they just do a great job at keeping things up to date. Yeah. Do you have to go and manage, okay? Let me come and have a look. Okay, back again. It's going to be a day of interruptions today, I think. Just managing the herd of Dudmans, how they all go. Okay, I've got one of these kind of headphones with those long curly cables. It's a great set of headphones, but every time I sit down, they seem to get tangled up around each other and things. Where was I? Yes, Arch Linux. I'm really enjoying it, and as I said, I've sped up my internet, and there's a program or a daemon that you runs in the background, and you can make startup automatically, and you know, once you've got it set up, you don't even know it's there. But basically it's called PDNSD, and it's a persistent DNS cache, and you know, I don't want to put off non-geeky people, but and I don't want to put off geeky people who might understand and comprehend this, but basically DNS is whenever you type in, for example, google.com, it's got to go off to the internet somewhere, maybe just your internet service provider, to a little service that runs there, and then it will reply with the actual physical number, the IP address of the place you're trying to get to. But if you're loading a web page to query every single domain name, you know, google.com, linuxbasics.com, archlinux.com, all of those URL addresses in a web page that he's got to find, he's got to rush off to the internet and do individual queries for them. And this PDNSD is basically a local cache. So the first time I searched now, it's installed for a external URL in a web page or anything, it goes through my cache. The cache says, well, I haven't got it, and it goes off and satisfies it outside in the normal means. But subsequent queries take, well, basically 0 seconds, you know, 0 milliseconds, and it just gives this sort of spriteful sort of acceleration to using the web. You know, of course, downloads don't go any faster. It Are we back in? Oh, what happened? Oh, went quiet for a minute. I don't know. Maybe it was nothing. The noise in my headphones went all quiet, and I was wondering if the audio had stopped, but it seems okay. Yeah, basically what happens is it goes off. It's one of those days today. Distractions galore, I was starting late, and I hope this is okay. And as ever, I'm not editing this, and it goes up as it's recorded live. We are on the Linux Basics Mumble server. We have a room there called Dudmanovi. If you'd like to come and join in with my randomness and incoherence, I'd be very pleased if you share interest in any of the subjects that I've been talking about or would like to join in. I'm very, very welcome for you to join. The information is there at the on my main webpage, dudmanovi.cz, and we record live at a almost consistent time, but I will definitely make it more consistent. I would try and start on time if some people came along. So, just a reminder. But at the same time, I'm very happy to do it myself. It's easier in a sense. So, we were just talking quickly about this DNS caching, and I just wanted to mention it because it was much easier to install than I'd considered. And now my wife's machine, with one simple line in a configuration file, gets her DNS lookups via my main machine. And I'm looking into if I can get some low-powered piece of hardware to act as a router so I can install this kind of stuff myself and maybe make that sort of low-powered device a media center as well. So I don't have to have my main computer on if I want to listen to music and what have you. So that's just one idea. But anyway, on with more topics. Yeah, I got some nice bits of feedback. Linux Clubhouse replied. Unix Clubhouse, sorry. Unix Clubhouse replied on the forum thread of the podcast and thanked me for doing the nice podcast and said he liked it. He loves the background of the birds tweeting, and I really enjoy doing that as well. And I'm hearing shouting next door, and I don't know if I should go and intervene or not. I'm going to let them be. Let my wife become more clever at dealing with situations. And it was very nice to get great feedback, and it's very encouraging, so I do thank you, Unix Clubhouse man. And he has a great webpage as well. Do a search for Unix Clubhouse and you'll find his website. And lots and lots of... I love this community because once you start to get involved, you know, put your head up above the parapet and join in, it's a great motivator for learning more about how things work. And you've got... You know, I don't have any local people interested in Unix or Linux or homesteading here other than myself and... You know, I try to talk to my wife about Linux, and I'm trying to educate her a bit, but I must admit, her eyes glaze over at any mention of it, and I'm trying hard to inspire her and get her to understand why I might be so excited and have been all these years about Linux. Because to be honest, it was Linux that inspired me to do homesteading and to get off the treadmill. So basically, I want to thank you for the feedback, and I've had some other nice feedback from other people, so thank you all for that. Apologies if I don't mention it all here or remember everybody's names, but I really do appreciate it. It's very encouraging. So I have a little audio to play that my wife recorded this morning. That will give me time to collect my thoughts, and my wife recorded it. It should have been added to last week's podcast on pork and on how to butcher our pigs, how we do it, because I wanted her to talk a little bit about what she does then in the kitchen and to share what she learned and discovered just 2 weeks ago. And was, like I tell her about Linux constantly, and her eyes glaze over. She was telling me about this, and it was very, very interesting and inspiring.
But it was a little bit much after she told me so many times. So here it is.
Hello, everybody. Hello, listeners. This is me, Vera Dudman, wife of Neil. He asked me to tell you a little bit about proper preparation of pork. I think that with pork, it's the same like with any other food, which needs a kind of processing so that all the nutrients are usable and digestible. For instance, we know that whole grain flour should be properly soaked, or that the grains or even nuts should be soaked or even sprouted and fermented. Especially grains should be fermented, or the flour for a sourdough old-fashioned traditional bread. So is true for pork meat. Pork is a little bit, I think, different than any other meat, because unlike cattle or goat meat or lamb meat or beef, it comes from animal which is not only herbivorous, but it's omnivorous animal. If we would let it go outside, it would start digging, eating anything, mole, maybe even mouse, or little birds, or anything it finds, eggs. And I can also feed it with whey or old cheese. It eats everything. And probably from this comes certain prejudices, but certain rules in certain cultures like Muslim or Jewish, not to eat and avoid, refrain from eating pork. That they called it's a dirty meat, dirty animal. So let's not eat it. But behind it is a grain of truth. Maybe they kind of intuitively decided not to eat it. And recent studies prove that it's partially true, because if we would eat quickly prepared fresh pork, like a Vienna schnitzel, a slice of pork, fresh steak, which is quickly fried using bread and bread crumbs and white and egg, after eating, it would create some blood pathological changes in our blood. And there was a lady called Beverly Rubik who conducted recently some research on volunteers who were eating food according to Western price, and they were eating pork which wasn't treated before frying or heating, and she found out that there are some pathological changes in their blood pattern, in their blood samples. And I wouldn't go to any details. I'm just obliged, when I state something publicly like this, to provide references. So if you go to Western price, or if you type in Google Western Price Foundation, probably .org, and write the blood changes after eating pork, or Beverly Rubik, you can find more detailed results of her research. So she found out that if you don't do anything before with the pork before cooking, there are some pathological changes, and probably after many years of eating pork in this way, every Sunday just Vienna schnitzel, we could become part of very sad statistics like cancer or colon cancer. But if people cured it, the meat, or marinated the pork, there wasn't any change. So I understood that we should marinate the food, the pork, or cure it. Because the traditional way of preparing pork was curing, and curing means treating the meat before we smoke it or before we bake it or roast it in salt. It's actually interesting coincidence that the verb cure means treat in salt or soak it in salt for several weeks before heating it, and at the same time it can mean to start to heal, to treat, to give it a like a remedy, to fix it somehow, to improve it for our health benefits. And another way of traditional preparation of pork in many cultures of the world is marinating. Marinating means to put or use some acid means or acid environment, like vinegar. Best is vinegar for pork. So I often cut the fresh pork and pour some vinegar, some spices, never salt. I salt the meat treated in this way only just before I start roasting it or stewing it on the frying pan, in the frying pan. So this is the very simple message I wanted to say. Just marinate, or smoke it in an old-fashioned way, the meat, after you cure it in a salt. And there are many cultures of the world who did it in this way. And I don't want to insult Austrians, but it seems to me that Vienna Schnitzel, which was originally a veal made from veal meat before they started using cheap pork meat, that is a kind of fast food of a city, I mean Vienna. Because in the past, or even now, when people kill pig in the village, they have to take care of the whole grain, whole pig. They can't pick up just, or select, I just want steak, bone steak, and make a Wiener Schnitzel every Sunday. They have to take care of the whole pig, process it, cure it, and because simply refrigerators and freezers they were invented just yesterday. People in the past didn't have any freezers. They had just their reason and salt and natural means of preserving it. And it was more wise than they probably thought, as the results of the research of Mrs. Beverly Rubik showed us recently. And so I, for instance, before I use it and fry the pork, I marinate it in vinegar. I use also juniperus berries. I use rosemary, pepper, ginger, or other spices. And I let it rest for 2-3 even more days in the fridge, and only then I prepare it. And salt it and prepare it. And the result is that such meat is not only tender and very tasty, but it's more digestible, and as I understood, it's much more healthier. And the pork is something which is used in many cultures of the world, from ex-Soviet Georgia, Eastern Europe, Czech Republic, Poland. In Czech Republic, if you look on a map, you can find at least maybe 20 names of villages which in its name, in the stem of the name, there is the word svine, like sviňaři, trhové sviny, and so on. Pork is, I'm sure, used also in Japan, especially in Okinawa Prefecture, because Okinawa was historically much more connected with South China with which they did some trade. So I don't think that there is any reason to quickly give up this and melt, dissolve this tradition and succumb to some pressures of system of experts, because even, you know, there are some dietary guidelines of certain special diets who are completely refusing this pork, even though, for instance, in China it's been used for hundreds of years. But as everything, we can abuse even system yin and yang, as we know that in the history certain Chinese moralists used this system to make, to cripple hundreds of millions of Chinese women, their feet, to create small little tiny lilies. And so I hope I said all I wanted, and if you are more interested in any details what's happening after you eat marinated or especially non-marinated fresh pork, just go to Western Price Foundation pages and you can find more information. Hello everybody.
Thank you very much. I've got to get the hang of stopping it at the right time. That was of course Faith Vera, my wife, and she was very passionate. It's a shame I didn't record it about 2 weeks ago when she was so hot for the subject, because you know, after all these years, you know, we're in our late 30s now, and so many years sometimes you can go by and just not understanding these simple facts. The most fundamental thing is that the meat, once soaked, it just tastes so good, so good. My wife is actually cooking some next door right now for breakfast. We no longer eat cereals for breakfast or anything. We have the same food that we would have for a main meal for breakfast for every single meal, you know, because we have so much butter and fat and meat and you know, fried liver with bacon and all of these things, and it's just so much tastier and better for us. So we have it every single meal, almost, especially after a pig or a bull has just been killed, slaughtered. But I would like to thank you very much for that that information. And as she said, if you have any information, go over to westernaprice.org or .com. I'll put a link in the bottom of the show notes, as I have done before. And that is an amazing resource. You know, don't be put off by that it's about food or that you don't know where to find that. The search engine on that webpage, like most people's, isn't very good. But, you know, if you're a little bit geeky, you know to use Google and to limit the search for that particular domain name. And you'd just be amazed that they do some excellent reviews of books. And I think I'm going to do one whole episode just on what is Western Aid Price for the Hacker Public Radio. I've been meaning to. Maybe saying this now on the episode, I will just go outside and record something on my Android phone while it's peaceful today and get it out there, because it's phenomenal stuff. So, back on with the main programming. I'm salivating now for wanting to eat some meat, but that will have to wait. But first, before we go on, we need another tune from Vera Faith Dudmanova.
Já byl víckrát viděn s dívkou jedinou, to snad se smí, to snad se smí, jenže v kuloárech přišli s novinou, že už jsme sví, že jsme sví, táhle zpráva hned se stala lavinou a jela dál. Jeden z námi hned měl péči, hned se mě ptal a já takovouhle odpověď mu dal. Nestarej se, kamaráde, s kým si porozumím, s kým se nerad loučím každé ráno. Nestarej se, kamaráde, já sám rady si vím, díky za optání, fajn se mám. až to bude vážné, ozvu se sám. Já vím, jak je ráda, když jí pohladím. A vím to já, vím to jen já. Mám jí na žebříčku první v pořadí. Je prostě má, je jen má. Možná zpátečku tam jednou zařadím. Teď nespěchám, znám jí káže, že se řítím, sám nevím kam. A já takovouhle odpověď mu dám. Nestarej se, kamaráde, s kým si porozumím, s kým se nerad loučím každé ráno. Nestarej se, kamaráde, já sám rady si vím, díky za optání, fajn se mám, až to bude vážné, ozvu se sám.
Thank you again. You know, I listen back to them and I'm still amazed at the amount of... So I've never heard that song before, you know, I've never heard that one. And we do a lot of singing sometimes, we go through phases and, you know, I sing along and I whistle along with her. I don't do it recorded because it might just sound terrible, but we have a lot of fun doing it. But yes, she's another song I've never heard before. So I hope to bring you more on that. But now on with the main meat of the subject, programming. You know, what is this thing called programming? And is it just for geeks? I gave you a longer sneak peek of what I intended to talk about last week. Perhaps I actually blurted it all out like a bit of a chicken bottom. Couldn't help myself mentioning it. But I want to revisit it anyway. You know, programming, I studied programming, computer science at university. You don't have to do that to learn it. And sometimes, to be honest, it might be better not to study computer programming in that way, because there can be a predisposition in the academic field to over-perfect, over-apply some concept, perhaps object-orientatedness or some other thing, to the extreme, you know, and then as you come away from that university and that place, you can, if you're not careful, be kind of damaged intellectually to keep applying these concepts and principles, even in places where in practical terms it would actually not make sense and it would be simpler. So what I want to say here is really to the programmer. I've got something here for the programmer, the already established programmer, who hasn't thought about how to apply programming to a wider aspect of their life. I've got something here for you, and for also the non-programmer, the non-techie person, you know, encourage you a little bit to comprehend what is programming, because, you know, whether we love them or hate them, and I would rather that we start to love all the technologies we use. It's better if we understand a little bit of what's going on, to have some interest to the technology. For one part, I think it can be interesting to understand what's going on around us, and I love technology, gadgets, and more traditional or well-established, or to be honest, marginalized nowadays technology. You know, a plough or a stick, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Which I often use not to beat my horses or my animals, but you know, you can use a stick with a rope on as a very, very good tool to make yourself as a tall human into a longer horse with legs which can kick, or just, you know, exert your dominance over the little area you are, if you want to have any means of communicating with a horse. So a stick with a rope on, used properly with the correct technique, is an amazing piece of technology, you know, and the knowledge that goes with that is phenomenal. So but the same with programming, you know. First of all, I should cover, you know, what is programming to the non-programmer. Basically, you know, if you've learned, as you might in English schools, or I'm not sure what it's like in the US, a second language, you know, French or German, it's just, you know, a different way of saying stuff. So there's a different structure in the way language or communication is put together. And once you've learned the basics, it becomes easier to get into that language. Well, with programming, there are many different languages, like French, German, Japanese, you know, Czech, American. You know, American is a separate language, and there's lots of ways of expressing yourself in American English. They've ambushed our English English, or the English people have ambushing original proper English as well, you know, nowadays. But you know, there are many different types of programming language. You got, you know, C, C++, Java, you know, all the scripting languages, Python, everything. And there are differences between all of them. But the fundamental thing is that there's a text file, just like you're going to write a normal document, and the language has certain syntax, certain rules that you need to comply to, so the compiler or the interpreter will be able to interpret those commands. And at the end of the day, a computer program language, a computer program is just a set of instructions, you know. It's like, and I'm going to mention this more specifically, if I wanted to get my son to jump up, you know, I would have to say, you know, move forward 2 steps. You know, that would be one line in the computer program. And another one, jump with the right leg. That's another program. Then maybe, you know, don't forget to smile. Another step in the program. And then maybe I would put a loop in there because I want him to jump up and down constantly. So I would put a loop construct at the beginning. I would say loop until, you know, this sum number equals 10. And then inside the loop, I might, you know, add 1 to the loop so that I would get him to go around that loop 10 times. And then once he'd finished jumping, I might let him escape if he'd been good, you know. So if you wanted to get him to escape the loop and to give in, you might have some if condition in the middle of the loop that said, you know, if son is smiling for every single jump in the air, then after he gets to 10, let him escape. But it is, in essence, no more complicated than that. The complications obviously multiply when you're making a more complicated and more sophisticated computer program, which most of what we use and rely upon every day are way more complicated than the simple thing that I've outlined, and many, many thousands of lines of code. And of course, additional complication is there are many different programming languages, and once you know one language, a bit like, you know, once you can speak English, it's maybe to learn a second language is quite difficult, but to learn a third language, it might be a bit easier, you know. And some languages are similar, you know. If you learn English, German, you know, the Germanic languages, maybe that's there's more in common, more overlap. If you learn the Slavic languages, you know, Russian, Czech, Slovakian, Polish, they have certain things in common, and it's easier once you know one of those to pick up the others. You know, they're just variations on the theme, and the same exists in programming languages, you know. And it really is just an academic application of your mind to follow what the procedures are and to just create the program. You know, it isn't complicated, it just needs a will. So I would like to encourage anybody who's never considered that they could program, I would suggest go and have a look at learning to program in Python. You know, even if you're never intending to do this, go and have a look. You know, first of all, it will give you an appreciation of the amount of work and effort and thought and care and consideration that goes or should go into making good programs, especially if you're using free and open source or GNU, you know, truly free programs available via Linux or other distributions, that you could understand what people are sharing with you, you know, what effort they are putting in, and it will give you an appreciation. And then when something doesn't work or when there isn't the feature that you want, you'd have a bigger understanding and compassion that, you know, you can't just jump up and down and demand this. It's not effective to just, you know, start complaining, where is this feature? It doesn't work. I had this on Microsoft and it was much better, you know. You know, it's different in the open source world, you know, the free and open source world. A lot of the work, in fact, most of it is done by volunteers who are doing it as a hobby, and because they're passionate about it. And that is, for me, one of the strengths of the whole, you know, sharing the source code. that non-programmers or programmers alike can look in. They can take examples, they can copy, you know, as long as they follow the rules of the license and share with the same rights that they received, share any changes that they make so that they can all be integrated and what have you. So that's some advice or suggestions to non-programmers. You know, don't be scared. Python. Perl. Don't look at Perl. That's wonderful as well, but that will put a newbie off completely. Python is a language you want to go and have a look at, in my opinion, if you're new to Python, if you're new to programming. So go and have a look at that, non-programmers, and I think you could be enlightened a little bit as to what programming is, and it's a very, very nice environment for new people, not with existing experience in programming. And you never know, you might become hooked. You might find you really have missed your calling in life, or you just want to get involved and have an extra hobby. You know, you can never have too many hobbies, you know. And now something else for the already existing programmers. You know what? I want to suggest that we consciously extend the scope. Excuse me, just burping there. Extend the scope and the applicability of programming, you know, to not just changing the way that our computers behave and that we can use computers, but expand it even to ourselves, our families, those people around us. Because, you know, this podcast is about technology, and, you know, we're using machines, techniques, crafts, systems, methods of organization, and at the end of the day, we want to solve a problem. And as I've mentioned before, Linux was kind of a gateway drug for me, and open source and free and open source software. It was a gateway drug to me to homesteading and to producing my own food, to being healthier and happier and having a much more interest in life than I ever used to as a computer programmer stuck in an office and not really having the freedom to do all the things that I and everybody probably dreams of actually doing, you know. So it was a gateway drug to me, but, you know, if those machines and techniques and crafts don't solve a problem and we can't find more creative ways to apply them, then we're not really using them to their full potential. You know, I've been playing with my computer this week trying to understand how to split or to control the audio output from the back of the computer and the front of the computer so I can listen to two things simultaneously. You know, mostly just so that I don't have to keep plugging and unplugging. I've got speakers plugged into the back and headphones in the front, and I'm just tired of keep changing them over, plugging and unplugging, you know, and I want the software, if it can, to save me doing that, you know. So I'm fiddling and it's taking time to get working, but I want to make sure that my computer does everything it can to make my life easier. Well, I'm suggesting that we all do the same, and as a programmer, you know already what you can make, how you can fix something. If a program doesn't work the way you want it to, you can get into the code, you can report bugs, you can apply patches, all of these great things. But we can apply the same concepts and principles to our own life. How to influence and affect ourselves, you know. There is a common belief that, you know, if you want to make something automatic, if you do something for 1 month, then it gets under your skin. You know, if you do one pattern, getting up early in the morning, you know, going to bed early, getting up early, whatever it is you want to do, you know, whether it's just remembering to smile more, you know, don't like take life too seriously. If it's make a regular Hacker public radio episodes and contributing to there, whether it's learning one new thing a week, you know, keeping a diary, you know, logging your finances, whatever it is, if you consciously do it for 1 month, then it becomes automatic, it becomes under your skin, you know. And it is difficult to do something new for 1 week, but you are in essence programming yourself, you know. And that is one aspect of programming outside of the computer realm. But there is also how you respond to situations. I mentioned it before, but when my children were much younger, even now, you know, when they would first fall over, I just noticed, me and my wife did that, there was a point where my youngest son, he would look up before he decided to scream and sort of be upset they'd fallen over in the street. There was this conscious time where he looked up at us to see what our reaction was. And if we looked worried and panicked, then he would start screaming, you know. And if we smiled and just like an incurious way, oh, you've fallen over, you know, did you catch the rabbit? Or, you know, what are you doing down there? He would smile and he would pick himself up, you know. Generally, that kind of thing happened. So we realized that, you know, we're not stupid. And maybe it's obvious when we say this, but a lot of the time, we're all going in automatic pilot, you know, and often when we're in automatic pilot, we're just doing the things that we learned, and often those things are just the things that our parents did when we were younger. You know, how often have we said to ourselves, you know, after some stressful situation, wow, that was just, I spoke to my children just like my mother used to speak to me, or, you know, yep, I was angry and I was frustrated just like my father was, and perhaps ineffective once the heat has calmed down and we can see it calmly. Or if you have siblings, maybe you tell your brother, you sound just like your father when you're talking like that, you know. He's, do I? I'm not sure that's true. And, you know, it's easy for somebody else to see, but not ourselves. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, if we're not conscious of something, then we're acting automatically. And if we don't program those automatic behaviors into ourselves or into our children in a conscious way, just like we do when we're writing programs, then we are just allowing the already programmed programs to materialize whatever reality, you know, is going to occur in front of us. It's like having Microsoft Windows installed and we don't make a conscious effort to change the program, so we are subject to all of the injustices that Microsoft inflicts upon on us. You know, the ever repeating payments of licenses, the bugs and the slowness and the bloatware and the viruses and what have you. But we can make a conscious effort to change out Microsoft or Macintosh for Linux, as we can make a conscious effort to change out the programming that may or may not be good. You know, we can make a conscious decision with thought and carefulness as to whether the programming we received when we were younger and through our formative years was effective, whether it is good, and we can change that out for something, you know. And maybe we've got to consciously, with the help of our wives or a stick, you know, threatening to whack ourselves on the head, or give yourself a high five, a self high five, like Door to Door did, and ended up slapping himself. But you can do that. If we need to do that to motivate ourselves in order to get that programming under our skin and under our nails, you know, there are many, many ways that we can change what we feel is ineffective. You know, there is something said that we can just keep doing over and over the same things, you know, and then we get the same results. And, you know, if you would like to get different results, you know, then maybe it's worth considering to actually change what we have been doing over and over again so that the actual result will be different. And it is very easy to say, and it takes sometimes kind of a peaceful space to be able to sit down and contemplate what it is that actually is the result of our lives in order to make any change. And I do fully understand that the way the system is kind of set up right now, that a lot of us, maybe not all of us, even myself sometimes now, is we can be so stressed, so eager to finish this one project, or we've got to rush off to work, come back home, you know, go shopping, whatever these tasks that we've got to do, and they're all time squeezed together, you know, rushed, that there really isn't any time to just, you know, listen to those birds in the background, you know, sit down and just close your eyes, have a rest, you know. Give those thoughts a chance to kind of work their magic in our head and to come to different ideas. There is actually, you know, my wife, she often under her breath or sometimes loudly, and I have to be very firm and strict with her because she starts to verbally complain,
why am I always tidying up? You know, this place is a pigsty. You know, when mess accumulates from children playing or just, you know, all these apparently mundane jobs you have to do around the house, you know, or washing up or these repetitive things that in our world have come to be disrespected and underappreciated, you know. And a lot of us, if we had a choice, we would, you know, spend all of our time doing the important, either highly paid or highly respected tasks. But those repetitive, unappreciated tasks of cleaning and tidy and you know, teaching our children or simple things, you know, we would rather, if we could, get someone else to do it, you know, make the wife do it, pay an au pair, get someone in to do it, you know, manipulate our children to do it for us, you know, empty the bin, off you go, you know, wash up, which is what we used to have to do as kids, me and my two brothers. But I came to appreciate that I actually sometimes enjoy those repetitive jobs. I really enjoy, you know, the repetitive jobs of taking out the dung from behind the animals or digging holes to lay pipes or trenches or, you know, making stone walls, which it's just terribly repetitive and quite hard work, and you've got to really think where you're going to put the next stone. But it takes you out into a zone, or milking a cow by hand for 15 minutes, morning, evening, you know. It puts you in a zone of repetitive motion, and it's a kind of a meditation in action, you know. A bit like going for a walk and just focusing on, you know, left foot up, right foot down, right foot up, left foot down. However the pattern goes, don't copy that exactly, because you'll find yourself doing a funny dance. But the chance to do these sort of automatic tasks, which are actually very valuable, you know, and can put our mind in that zone where maybe thoughts and ideas about our life just, you know, they just come to our heads. Often you've got to do it for long enough to give yourself a chance to calm down and to get into that zone. But I found a lot of the problems in my life kind of solve themselves when I give my mind or whatever it is up there a chance to just come up with a solution, you know. There's an old adage, you know, if you have a problem, you know, sleep on it, you know, and in the morning you'll be wiser for it. And there is some definite truth in that. So I'm hoping that I might motivate here programmers and non-programmers alike to think of the concept of programming, you know. Just like hacking, I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's, I think that we actually do the term, the concept, a misservice to limit its interpretation to just computer taking things apart and understanding them, you know, because it applies to everything, you know. Just like technology, the term technology and its modern day use has been hijacked almost in some aspects by commercialism of technology or by geekism, where geeks sometimes are only interested in computer games or at least that's their primary focus. But just like this, you know, programming, hacking, technology, it can be if you decide and your interest is there, it can be a much wider field of exploration. And as such, if we explore it, we try to comprehend it and understand it, then we can start to realize how, in many senses, perhaps somebody in the past, or perhaps there was a concerted effort, or perhaps it just happened on its own, somehow all of these sciences, all of these sort of disciplines have been separated into their own little limited boxes, and we're encouraged to just look at one box and not to comprehend or to dare to have a foot in two boxes, let alone three or four or five or 100, or to merge all of the boxes together so that perhaps we could comprehend a bit more of the whole and dare to be a bit more empowered and a bit more in control of our lives to make technology at work for us, you know. And at the end of the day, technology is about people being happy, satisfied, contented,
And if people are happy and satisfied and contented and they feel more at ease and at one with themselves, you know, children can grow, you know, now I'm gonna paint this beautiful rosy picture, you know, can you imagine a time in the world when children will grow up happy and contented, they will love and respect their parents, there wouldn't have to be conflict between teenagers and their parents, or between, you know, parents with other parents, or grandparents with parents and grandchildren, and, you know, the state wouldn't be necessary for the state to interfere to help the weak and the poor, because the weak and the poor will be able to help themselves, and the rich and the affluent wouldn't be, you know, raking the money to one pile for themselves, but at the same time not being happy with what they amass because they're missing it, being so busy raking into one pile, you know. And it might sound idealistic or utopian or something, but through a gradual process of empowerment and sort of individual satisfying this sort of lack in knowledge and basically reprogramming ourselves from the ground up. For one, we can very, very in a slow way, gradually, you know, change the world and improve ourselves, but not from the outside, you know, not from going to a bunch of people and saying, I have the solution, you must follow this, I have the plan to improve the world, you know, but from just changing and reprogramming our own lives, you know, and finding happiness and pleasure so we can laugh and be jolly and be terribly stimulated by all the things and the knowledge we gain, realizing, of course, that the more we know, the less we actually know, and hence entering into a path of never-ending education, you know, never-ending greenness and growing and expanding. Wow, I never thought I'd be saying all these things on this podcast. But we're doing it from inside, for ourselves, you know, and that kind of radiating outwards, and everybody kind of individually, if the desire, you know, sparks inside themselves to basically get on that pathway, you know, and I think that is the way to gradually blossom as society, as a world, and then improve things. Now, my daughter has just come in, and can I lift you up to the microphone so that you can say something? She's brought her lovely coat. So you're going to repeat the same thing. Could you keep repeating it, please? Because I love it. I love it when you just keep repeating it. And she's saying in Czech, can you do it for me? Can you do it for me? Can you do it for me? You want me to undo your coat? There you go. Is that okay? I've undone your coat. Will you run away and close the door, please? No. I smell something burning in the other room. Is it okay? Well, there's the music coming in. Could you close the door, please, Dorotka? Can I help you with that coat? No? Come on, Bingo. Over here, I'll pull one arm for you. Then you pull the other one. There you go. Off you run like a little weasel. Run like lightning. One, two, three. Take, I'll pick you up again. You're not going to take all your clothes off again, are you? No. Come on. Come and say goodbye to everybody.
Ahoy.
Well, you've got to speak English sometimes. Can you speak English instead of Czech?
Ahoy.
Ahoy, that's Czech for goodbye. So we're programming. I'm going to program you gradually to speak Czech language because I think Czech language should replace English because it's phonetic. You know, we don't have this craziness of how to pronounce words. Once you've learned the funny harchi, and sharki, the funny letters above characters, additional ones, and learn how to roll your hr, then it is very easy to pronounce things. Not that I understand many of the words, but I'm hoping as my children grow older, they will be speaking more and more Czech in more complicated ways, and I will just find motivation because I'll say, what are you talking about? Well, that music is coming in, and I need to turn it up a little bit, and it's gradually fading in. How long have we got now?
We have about 20 seconds left. I'd like to invite you all back for next week. I don't know what the subject's going to be, but dudmanovi.cz is the website, and I am Dudman, your host. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great week. You know, remember, technology's here to serve us. Make sure it serves us. What else? That volume should have come up. Isn't it coming up? Oh, I've actually got 1 whole minute still to talk. Don't forget, you can join on the Mumble server. Come and join me live Sunday mornings, I think about 8 to 10 UTC time. We will have it one day. We will stream live on thenewradio.net. Thanks to Door to Door Geek and Tracy Holtz. And I hope to bring you more subjects. Have a great week. Bye bye.
Tag that's it, we're finished.